Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Well, there's definitely a lot going on to distract everyone from many of the important things going on today. Something that is worth discussing, something that's relevant, but is clearly being used to grab the attention of all the people with their emotionally, mind you. And this is definitely Donald Trump's discussion of the caravan and, you know, things that were important to point out, such as saying that they're open to shooting people on the border if they throw rocks, which is eerily reminiscent to what we're seeing in Israel, putting people in tents. Nonetheless, this aligns with everything else we've been saying about the Trump administration and the U.S. oligarchy in general, whatever puppet is put in place, and things that we've already said about the caravan thus far. And sadly, almost the entirety of the independent media and mainstream media alike are consumed with discussing this caravan and Don Lemon's comments on CNN. And just all, it seems frustratingly so that too many people, including the independent media, are being wrapped up into these mainstream talking points, even if we're trying to explain them in our own way, even myself in regard to things like Khashoggi or any of all other topics we're getting into today. It seems like too many of us are getting wrapped up into their talking points, and that's something we have to consider to be sure that we don't just continue to fall down these discussions that they create for us. Now, there's a lot of important things to talk about today that are not being discussed because they're being overshadowed by so many of the things I just mentioned. But before I jump into it, I want to point out that I just put up an excellent interview with Whitney Webb from Mint Press News that I highly recommend you check out in regard to Yemen and what's going on there, as well as I just recorded an interview this morning with Pamela Bennett, who was the woman who was carrying on a hunger strike to draw attention to what's really going on in Yemen. That will likely be up tomorrow. Both of them are fantastic. Lots of great information about the sad reality of what our government, if you're an American, is allowing to take place in Yemen while they're trying to distract you with so many other things and motivate you to get out there and vote. Now, the first story of the day, something that I think is incredibly important, is not necessarily, obviously, Yemen, you guys know, is something that's very important to me because it is easily the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, possibly the worst ever, when we're talking about potentially 18.4 or more million people starving to death. That's staggering. But this story is about the U.S. all of a sudden deciding to say we need to stop what's going on here, which seems like a good thing. Depends on if they're actually genuine in what they're doing. Nonetheless, it's important to point out that because of all of our tireless efforts, all of you in the chat, everyone in the independent media that's been forcing this point, making the mainstream media talk about it in the fleeting moments that it has, forcing the politicians to do their job, this is why we see things like this. Now, it's important that we follow up and make sure that something does change. Sadly, I don't think this is going to happen. This coming from Al Jazeera, of all places, U.S. defense chief demands Yemen ceasefire. Peace talks in 30 days? Interesting. Well, it's also important to note that in 30 days, we'll likely see tens of thousands of more people murdered by the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition airstrikes, starvation tactics, cholera efforts, and all the other things they're doing to these people. But let's just wait 30 days. The frustrating part in all of this is that if they truly, as Whitney Webb said in our interview, if they truly wanted to stop this, they could simply stop it. It's that simple. Their efforts, the UK and the United States combined, are what is allowing this to continue. They're talking about peace talks around the table with the groups that they're funding, arming, and pushing to dry and pointing to the places on a map. This is a play for people that don't understand what their real dynamic is at play. Honestly, this is more than anything could very well be Mattis trying to stop them from doing what they're making him do, if you want to look at it that way. Sadly, I think all of them are as equally complicit in this whole horrible story. Now, top American officials did in fact call for a ceasefire in Yemen and demanded warring parties immediately come to the negotiating table, which is something that frustrates me. Knowing that we know well what they want to do. Saudi Arabia is very apparent, has spoken out about what they want to do, very similar to the way Israel against the Palestinians. They want them gone. They don't want a deal. They don't want a two-state solution. Same thing with the Yemenis. They want them gone. Ethnic cleansing is what they're trying to accomplish. So coming to a negotiating table between groups that have no desire to negotiate doesn't make sense, but they know this. And I see this as a ploy to make people think something's going to happen until they can distract you with yet another story, some more false bombs or another caravan or whatever story they want to drive into your consciousness. Now, the comments came as the Saudi Emirati-led military coalition deployed, interestingly, more than 10,000 new troops, which we just spoke on. It's literally while they're deploying 10,000 more people. This is the U.S.-backed coalition. They're now discussing ideas of ceasefire. Very contradictory. Now, James Mattis, the Pentagon chief, said that the U.S. had been watching the conflict for long enough, adding he believes Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, who are in a U.S.-backed coalition, which you all are well aware, are ready for talks, which is literally the opposite of what they've been saying, but apparently he knows better. Now he says, quote, "We have got to move toward a peace effort here, and we can't say we are going to do it for some time in the future." And he says, yeah, "and we can't say we are going to do it in some time in the future," which is a very weird comment. And this is Mattis speaking on. He says, "We need to be doing this in the next 30 days, which is essentially a very loose time limit. Now, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo later called on the coalition to stop air attacks in populated areas in Yemen. The absurdity of that statement is knowing that the United States, Pompeo, Mattis, all included, are the ones helping pick the points on the map that they're bombing while supplying them with the weapons. So to call for them to stop their bombing is like he's asking himself to stop bombing. It's really that ludicrous when you understand the dynamics at play here. And the whole point of this is good. To see them speaking like this shows that we're making a difference, that we're forcing their hand on something they don't want to stop. I don't think they're going to do anything until they get what they want in Yemen, just like they've demonstrated in a number of other countries that they burned to the ground in the effort to do what they wanted under the guise of humanitarianism. But as if to really sell that point, literally just before I was about to go live, I get a tweet from Hussein al-Bukhari on the ground in Yemen, which reads, "Breaking news, heavy Saudi UAE bombardment on Sana'a at this moment. More than 20 strikes, most of it on Sana'a airport. This is the USA ceasefire in 30 days. It starts from today. I can still hear coalition fighter jets in the sky in the capital of Yemen." So, I mean, this is as if we need any more evidence that they're calling for ceasefire, as if, and saying that the Saudis and UAE are ready to talk. And it's almost just as bad as when they announced that they were backing the Saudis and that very day they bombed a bus full of children. It's almost as bad. They're saying they're ready for talks and they're literally this very moment over 20 airstrikes in Sana'a airport, bombing civilians. We can't continue to allow these people to get away with these blatant lies, telling us one thing while doing another. And they will just wait for some other story to force into your consciousness. And again, as I said, sadly, so many people are just waiting for the next ridiculous two-party deception talking point, for them to divide against party lines, argue with each other. It's the new form of entertainment today. And sadly, we need to keep forcing this into the talking points to make sure that the people of Yemen don't get murdered. Every single one of them, 18.4 or more. More than a third, it's more than half, as I understand it, of the entire population that is currently, at this moment, on the verge of starvation. And think about how that's only going to increase with everything that continues for 30 more days, if at all. Just keep that in mind. Now, it's important for us to understand the reality. And if we can see they're continuing to bomb, then we know that all of this ready to come to the table for talks discussion is a complete fallacy. But I think most of you that are, you know, watching this show on a regular basis are well aware of that by now. And of course, all the lies of it, you know, it's all about Iran, right? It's all about Iran being there, which we know is also a fallacy. But in related story coming from Medium as well, from Caitlin Johnstone, who I always enjoy her work, this one entitled U.S. Blames Iran for Impoverishing Citizens While Prepping Further Sanctions. And this is a story that we've touched on quite a bit, but I like some of the points that she drew out here. But this discussion it's literally as ridiculous as realizing that they are passing sanctions on a population that hurt their economy, that hurt the civilian population, then turn around and say, look at how much the civilian population is suffering. We need to do more sanctions. That is literally as ridiculous as it's you breaking it down. It's that simple. And this is what we're looking at. And they're going to continue to do so. The United States is preparing at this moment to implement an additional level of sanctions against Iran for its refusal to meet a dozen demands that are absurdly unreasonable. And it's basically tantamount to a regime change policy as they continue to pretend that's not what they're after, despite people like Pompeo and Bolton openly saying as much numerous times. Now, the sanctions which have already been implemented have already badly hurt the Iranian economy, the sting of which is being felt first and foremost by the Iranian people, the poor, the sickly. Again, very similar to what we're seeing in Yemen. These ideas of this, if humanitarian efforts to save the people, but first they need to kill and hurt the people to make sure they can come in and help the people. That's what they want you to believe. And of course, who is the U.S. government blaming for all of the consequences of their economic warfare? Of course, the Iranian government, because that makes sense. Now, imagine if the U.S. government, as Caitlin points out perfectly, had listed 12 ridiculous extreme demands of Tehran, and then when those demands weren't met, they decided to launch a few dozen Tomahawk missiles into an Iranian suburb. And imagine, if you will, what the response would be if Secretary Pompeo had then issued a tweet saying, boy, it sure was awful of the Iranian regime to launch those missiles at its own civilians. He would never do that, because nobody would buy it. But for some weird, entirely narrative-based reason, the U.S. government can get away with killing the same number of civilians by depriving them of food and medicine and say it's the Iranians' fault for not bowing to Washington's demands. It's that simple. These claims of Iran being the world's leader of terrorism, or whatever the phrase they use, is patently false. And I'm not saying Iran is not the bastion of freedom and, you know, the best country in the world, but the reality is there's no evidence to back up the claims that they're putting forward while they're literally carrying out some of the worst human rights violations and war crimes in modern time, in living memory. Just think about the contradiction there. And then literally justifying further action by pointing to the things that they just created. This is the U.S. oligarchy that we're giving our tax dollars to. Now, in another story coming from Middle East Monitor.com, another important story in regard to Iran, this is titled, Iran accuses Israel of false flag operation in Denmark assassination plot. Now, this is an interesting story, mildly related only because it's Iran, but I found this to be interesting in regard to the little trifecta of human rights violations, or however you want to call it, of Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United States. This in regard to Israel trying to demonize Iran in Denmark, if you take them at their word. Now, an alleged Iranian murder plot in Denmark to kill a political dissident has been swept aside by the country's foreign minister, Javad Zarif, as a, quote, false flag operation carried out by Israeli Mossad. The remark was made by Zarif in relation to the uncovering of a murder plot by Sweden's intelligence agencies in September. They blamed Tehran for the foiled plot to assassinate an Iranian dissident on Danish soil. Following the discovery of the plot, there was a massive police operation in which Denmark shut down streets and bridges nationwide. So it was a pretty big event. Now, Israel apparently provided information that led to the foiling of the assassination. Now, Mossad is reported to have passed intelligence information to the authorities in Copenhagen that led to this arrest, and apparently of two Iranian nationals who were believed to have been preparing explosive devices for the assassination, per the Israeli information. Now, news of Israel's involvement in foiling the attack prompted Zarif to state that the attack was actually a false flag carried out by Israel, and that there would be more in this later, which is likely to be an indication that he has more evidence to provide on these allegations. Now, he quote in a tweet he put out saying, Mossad's perverse and stubborn planting of false flags, more on this later, only strengthens our resolve to engage constructively with the world. This according to Zarif. Now, like we always recommend, you should never take one word over another. They all have their agendas. But with the history of Israel and doing exactly this, It's easy to, you probably likely know what my opinion would be, but we can't take any of them at face value. But they have a strong history of doing exactly this kind of thing. And we know, and look at what he has done so far. Netanyahu has numerous times stood up in front of the world and blatantly lied about Iran, presenting false evidence, manipulating opinions, verifiably so, by the international community. And now another thing like this happens, it seems very likely that they would carry it out in order to continue to demonize Iran for all of their efforts in Yemen, in Syria, in Iran, point blank. This is exactly what they're trying to accomplish. Now, in another story coming from MiddleEastEye.com, this one in regard to Saudi Arabia, entitled, U.S. Senators Call on Trump to Suspend Nuclear Agreement Talks with Riyadh, with Saudi Arabia. Now, again, this is an interesting development, understanding that this is the U.S. senators are standing up and saying these things, sadly, largely because of Khashoggi, ignoring tens of thousands of innocent women and children dying. But of course, one Washington Post writer, he then, of course, we must do something, right? But nonetheless, the fact that they're doing this is just another sign that we are making progress, that we are getting enough people to pay attention to what's really going on in Yemen and the horrible, atrocious human rights record of Saudi Arabia and the fact that the United States directly backs them, regardless of that. Which is staggering to me that that's not the biggest story of the year. But the fact that they're standing up and saying that they need to end this is important. But even more so, many people aren't even likely aware that Trump is discussing a nuclear agreement with Saudi Arabia. Think about that. With Saudi Arabia. While their entire premise of Iran is that they can't have nuclear weapons, but let's take the world's leading human rights violator and war crimes committer. They're currently behead people in the town square and crucify people and hang them in front of the city. Yes, let's give them the ability to make nuclear weapons because they're a U.S. ally. That it seems like a little bit more important topic, but together, this whole story is very interesting. Now, five Republican U.S. senators have called on President Donald Trump to suspend talks to reach a civilian nuclear cooperation agreement with Saudi Arabia over the recent killing of Jamal Khashoggi. And you could also clearly argue that they already have access to and use of nuclear material and even nuclear weapons, largely because of Israel's cooperation with them. But maybe this is just a way to cover for that already developing program. But either way, the fact that it's trying to legitimize their use of this should be very alarming to us. No one can deny the very atrocious record of Saudi Arabia. So why would they be okay and not Iran? It doesn't make sense. Intellectually, it does not make sense. Now, in a letter sent to the president on Wednesday, the politicians said that they have been concerned by Riyadh's ongoing refusal to adopt policies and technologies that limit the enrichment of uranium and reprocess plutonium, among other nuclear. Verifiably doing these things can just because we say so. Now, the killing of Khashoggi, as you are well aware, a prominent Washington Post columnist on October 2nd, at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, raises even more questions about the current thinking of Saudi decision makers. This is what they're claiming. The senators have said they would block any agreement at this time in light of their concerns. Again, sad that they can't make this decision after all of the people that have been killed in much more larger numbers, but one person, so be it. The Trump has been under increasing pressure to hold Saudi Arabia and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, in particular, accountable for the death of Khashoggi. Now, asked on Wednesday if he believed the Saudis had betrayed him in relation to the Khashoggi case, Trump responded, "They haven't betrayed me. Maybe they've betrayed themselves." What an interesting thing to say. And he says, "We'll have to wait and see how this all turns out." Well, I'm sorry to inform you, Mr. President, but the reality is we're well aware of what happened here. The information is in. They murdered him, they chopped him up, apparently strangled him at the door, and then got rid of his body and lied about it the whole way. But let's wait and see how this all turns out is what we're supposed to take away from this. The ridiculous system of them continuing to pretend like this is a developing story, like we have to wait and see how it all pans out, is just a way to keep you from paying attention while they let the story die out. They murdered him. They got rid of his body. They lied about it. And they're using their powerful allies as cover while nothing ultimately happens. Maybe the worst will be a switching of power, where MBS steps aside and some new person steps in, and it's business as usual. And while they continue to make agreements about a nuclear deal with Saudi Arabia. It's just, this stuff is almost comical today to see how ridiculous. If you're really paying attention, this stuff is absolutely absurd. And hopefully you are. Now, another story coming from South Front, this one entitled Syrian Army Uncovers Tons of U.S. Supplied Ammunition in Southern Deir Ezzor. Well, many of you are not surprised by this. This is something we've talked about many, many times. But the point here, over and over, and these are the stories that people just kind of shrug off and go, well, we've seen this before, but this is the realize that massive amounts of U.S.-made ammunition is being used by ISIS in their territory is profound, regardless of how many times it comes up, and they just want you to pay attention to something else. But the amount that we're seeing here is staggering. Now, the Syrian Arab Army today actually uncovered this large amount it's a depot containing apparently 450,000 bullets during a search operation around the city of Al-Mayadeen in the southern Deir ez-Zor countryside. Now, the Sana'a's reporter in Deir ez-Zor said that the bullets, which had been left behind by ISIS fighters, were all supplied by the U.S. Experts confirm that the bullets are, in fact, from the 7.62 by 51 millimeter NATO caliber. The U.S.-backed Free Syrian Army had used several rifles that are chambered in this caliber, such as the German Heckler and the Koch G3 and the Belgian FN-FAL. Now, ISIS likely bought these U.S.-supplied bullets directly from FSA. Earlier this year, a detailed report by the Conflict Armament Research, CAR, revealed how ISIS fighters in Iraq were able to obtain anti-tank guided missiles only a few weeks after the U.S. had supplied them from or to the FSA in Syria. Now, the real question is whether this was the plan all along. Regardless, all of these claims of trying to fight the extremists, as we can routinely show you, that's literally the opposite of what they're doing. Instead, they're funding these groups and allowing them to continue to fight their enemies. That should be a big story, but I guess we'll continue to focus on caravans and Don Lemon and all the things they're trying to force down your throat. Now, the last story of the day that's also very important, that's in the very same vein, from RT, entitled "Terrorists May Have Benefited from Millions Worth of U.S. Aid for Iraq and Syria." Again, really talking about U.S. tax dollars, your dollars, going towards funding terrorism. Yeah, many of you are probably like, yeah, we knew that already. But the truth is that most people don't. And now we're seeing that almost $1 billion that was supposed to go to helping people overseas, apparently, and despite the fact that Iraq and Syria are created by the U.S. interventionism, but we'll forget about that for the moment. Well, the money they put there, apparently most of it would end up in the hands of terrorists. So a recent USAID audit report found that some of its humanitarian programs for war-torn Syria and Iraq might have assisted terrorist groups. The assistance in question amounts to nearly $700 million. The official USAID Office of Inspector General found that the agency in charge of foreign aid provided by Washington has done a poor job to mitigate risks for its projects to end up in the wrong hands. The paper, highlighting the risk of terrorists benefiting from the U.S. foreign assistance, among other vulnerabilities, was published on September 25th, which nobody probably really heard of. Now, out of 19 cases, only in 6 did U.S. aid employees follow the guidance with due diligence, they say. The other 13 potentially risky assistance projects amounted to $697 million. The U.S. has been involved in the military campaign in Iraq and Syria for years, which we all know, with the stated goal to halt the rise of Islamic State terrorists. On Syrian soil, it's been done without any okay from Damascus. We know this, it's an illegal invasion, which it amounts to a breach of their sovereignty. But again, it doesn't really matter because they're fighting the terrorists. Now, Washington has also supported its moderate rebels in Syria with weapons and much, much more. Now, some of the arms clearly ended up in the hands of terrorists. And whether that was the plan to begin with, again, is becoming more and more likely with all the information we're seeing. And that's just to be, you know, to not be, you know my opinion. I mean, clearly I think the evidence here is blatant, but nobody can know for sure. Now in 2016, Jabhat al-Nusra unit commander Abu al-Aziz said that they point blank received American support through third countries. Moreover, the militants received TOW missiles directly from the U.S., he revealed. Damascus itself has accused Washington point blank of arming terrorists, which I think it should be basically a foregone conclusion at this point, just depending on what your definition of terrorist is today. Now, Syrian diplomat Alassi-Din Hamdan said in September that, quote, hundreds of tons of weapons were transported to end up in terrorist hands in southern Syria. Now, all of this stuff, a lot of the stories today are things that were that you watch this channel, you're probably like, I generally knew that kind of stuff. But these are tangible evidence points. Very clearly, we can see that this is what happened. And people today seem so aggressively consumed with conjecture and hypothetical discussion points that they just know this is what's happening because the Democrats or the Republicans just aggressively fighting that side. And I think that is our biggest problem today, is people are getting so wrapped back up in the two-party politics. And I really hope people can begin to see past that. And if any of you watching this channel that are dedicated followers of this channel, if you want to do any one thing to make a change today, get out there and try to fight people away in a, fight away in a non-physical way, people away from the two-party deception. Open their eyes to the reality that they both lead down the same path. And that is the way they get us fighting amongst ourselves. It's something that I've been fighting for a long time, but I feel lately that it seems to be getting worse. Even people that see themselves outside of it are getting pulled back in due to these discussion points. So do your best to fight against that. Now make sure you check out my interview with Whitney Webb, which is full of a lot of good information. I'll make sure and put the new one up tomorrow. I won't do an R&R today because I'm getting ready for a show with Be Rich. I'll be on Be Rich's channel tonight in a couple hours, I believe. So make sure and check that out. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.